Dear Cheap Astronomy, I still don't get Lagrange points, particularly L4 and L5. Most explanations of Lagrange points are a bit artificial. For example, explanatory diagrams show Earth's orbit as a perfect circle around the Sun, which isn't right, it's really an ellipse. So half the problem with understanding Lagrange points may be that the visual analogies people use aren't perfect, and the other half of the problem may be that Lagrange points were first identified through some pretty high-level mathematics, which may remain the best way to really explain them. But let's see how we go. Lagrange points are often described as points where different gravitational influences reach equilibrium in a simple orbital system, for example, the Earth orbiting the Sun. The idea of gravitational forces reaching equilibrium does make sense for L1, which lies between the Earth and the Sun, and hence is at a point where the gravitational pull of both massive bodies in opposite directions equalizes. But it's a harder thing to grasp in the cases of Ls 2 to 5. So a better way to think about the whole problem may be to consider why we care about Lagrange points. And that is all about spacecraft positioning. So, for example, the James Webb Space Telescope obviously needs a place from where it can observe the universe, but that also has to be a place where it can send data back to Earth and receive pointing instructions from Earth. While an Earth orbit worked well for the Hubble Space Telescope, James Webb is an infrared telescope and hence needs to keep itself cool, which it will achieve by keeping its sun shield always facing the sun. That would be very hard to do if it orbited the Earth every 95 minutes the way that the Hubble does. It's a much easier thing to achieve in a solar orbit, but then it will have to be a solar orbit that remains equidistant from the Earth. If it doesn't keep pace with the Earth, its orbit is either going to lag or advance, meaning the radio delay between it and the Earth may become minutes long, and there will be times when it's on the other side of the Sun, which will put it completely out of contact with the Earth. So how do you put a spacecraft in a solar orbit where it will keep pace with the Earth? This is not hard in principle. All you need is for that spacecraft to adopt the same orbital velocity as the Earth, which is largely a matter of tweaking, since it will already have a very similar orbital velocity to the Earth, having been launched from the Earth. But remember, the Earth's orbit is elliptical, so it speeds up around aphelion and slows down around perihelion, and while a small mass spacecraft would naturally orbit the centre of the Sun, the much larger mass Earth really orbits the Earth-Sun barycentre, which is about 500 kilometres out from the centre of the Sun. So with all that going on, a solar orbiting spacecraft would need to regularly adjust its speed and trajectory if it's to keep pace with Earth. On the other hand though, you could just fly it to a Lagrange point, which will do most of that work for you. Lagrange point 2, or L2, is the chosen destination for the James Webb, which is on the other side of the Earth from the Sun. So, being further out, it's a bit cooler. Plus, any object at that L2 point orbits the combined mass of both the Sun and the Earth. So, even though it's in a higher orbit than the Earth is, which would normally mean it must have a slower orbital velocity, the combined mass of the Sun and the Earth working on it will mean it moves at the same orbital velocity as the Earth. L3 is not much use for spacecraft parking, being on the opposite side of the Sun to the Earth, and hence always out of radio range, unless you positioned a relay spacecraft above or below the solar orbital plane. Such an idea has been proposed to enable us to observe the other side of the Sun in order to provide early warning of solar flare activity that might later be rotated around to face the Earth. That spacecraft at L3 would also orbit the combined mass of the Earth and the Sun. It's just the Earth and the Sun would be in the opposite order, so like L1, its orbit would also be slightly higher than the Earth's orbit, but nonetheless it would end up matching the Earth's orbital velocity. And then your last two options, after L1, 2 and 3, are L4 and 5. These two points are in line with the Earth's orbit, and they always remain at 150 million kilometres to either side of the Earth, where 150 million kilometres is also the distance between the Earth and the Sun. Hence, these two points experience exactly the same gravitational influences that keep both the Sun and the Earth in orbit around their mutual barycenter. So for this reason, if you put something at L4 or L5, that object will not only match Earth's orbital velocity, but also follow Earth's exact orbit.